Ain't that good? Praise God. Story never grows old for me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Going to be in the book of Proverbs tonight. Book of Wisdom. And preach a message tonight that I think this will probably, there's just so much in this and so much the Bible has to say that I think I've pretty much decided to kind of break this up maybe into three different messages tonight. So I'll preach to you the first one tonight dealing with this topic and pray that it'll be a blessing and a help to you. Amen. Now what I'm going to say tonight may not be anything that you haven't heard before. And I will promise you this, that all of this will be as practical probably as anything you've ever heard. And so, but that is the nature of the book of Proverbs. It is very practical. It's practical wisdom written by the wisest man that ever lived. Amen. And so if you'll find your place in Proverbs chapter 17, we're going to start off there. And I'll not have you stand tonight. I'm just going to read one verse and keep your Bible handy. And we're going to flip. Be pretty much in Proverbs all night, but we're going to flip to several different chapters and look at different verses and things like that. And you may want to write some of these down. But anyways, we'll start off in Proverbs chapter 17. Look with me in verse number 27. We'll read this verse and use this kind of as a launch pad, if you will, off into several other verses. But in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number, Proverbs 17, verse number 27, it says, "He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit." So he that hath knowledge spareth his words. But the second part is what I'm really focused on. It says, a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about words, what we say, what we don't say. Proverbs has a lot to say about that. And this is just kind of a side note, but even the very next verse, verse 28, he said, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. He that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Most of us, we'd be esteemed a lot wiser and smarter than we are if we'd just be quiet most of the time. Amen. One man said, it's better to be quiet and thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Amen. Amen. But Proverbs has a lot to say about watching your tongue and your words and all those things. But anyways, that was just kind of a side note there. But a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. And I think I mentioned it this morning, but I want to preach tonight dealing with common sense, something that is very lacking in 2021 and something that we could use a lot more of. Amen. Is Bible common sense. And I'm going to look tonight specifically throughout Proverbs, and just as always, we're going to major on the Word of God, major on Scripture and practical application of Scripture, at the causes and the sources of common sense. Where does common sense come from? All right, and so let's pray. Lord, help us. Father, I come before Your throne of grace tonight. I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for how it works in our lives, and Lord, how You use it to help us and bless us. And Lord, I thank You for this service, and Lord, letting us be together again. Thank You for everything that's been done already, the good praying that's been done, the giving that's been done. Lord, I thank You for the good fellowship. Thank You, Lord, for the good songs that have been sung, the good specials. Lord, I just thank You for all of it. And Father, I pray that You would help us now as we've come to this time of preaching. Lord, we've come to the pinnacle of the service where the Word of God is going to be preached. And Lord, I am so inadequate, so unable, and Lord, so unworthy, Lord, to stand here and Lord, to take a Bible and preach the Bible. But Lord, I ask that You would just please help me tonight. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over my life and over this message. Lord, I pray that You would give us eyes to see and ears to hear tonight. And Lord, I pray that You would just give us that special touch that it takes to preach the Word of God. I pray that you'd make preaching easy. Help us, Lord, to say what you'd have us to say. Nothing more, nothing less. And I ask that you'd set a watch over my lips tonight. Help me not to say anything that would grieve the Spirit of God. But Lord, I pray that this word would be applied to our lives and that you'd help us tonight to be better Christians for you. We'd be able to serve you better in these last days. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen and amen. Now, I looked up that term, common sense, and it actually is in the dictionary. And Webster's Dictionary, this isn't the whole definition, but part of it anyways. Most of it that would really, I guess, apply directly to what we're dealing with tonight. But Webster's Dictionary defines common sense as sound and prudent judgment based on a simple perception of the situation or facts. Okay? Sound and prudent judgment based on a simple perception of the situation or facts. It's simply being able to look at a situation, look at the facts presented to you, and make a sound judgment, sound reaction based on that. And so some of the synonyms for common sense, some of the words that mean the same thing, would be a word like discretion, or gumption, or horse sense. You've heard that, horse sense, right? Level-headedness, prudence, sensibleness. We need people that are sensible. People are so unsensible now. And it's even in the church. I mean, it's not just our society, not just the unbelieving society. Within the church, we need people that are sensible. They've got common sense. Another synonym for common sense would be wisdom. Wisdom. And common sense, really, I would say, is maybe the most basic form of wisdom. You know, we all probably have men and maybe women as well, that whenever we think of someone who is wise, someone that has really deep, divine, godly wisdom. And I believe God does give that to some people. I believe God just simply blesses some people with very, very deep wisdom, very divine wisdom, and I believe it's a gift from God. And we can probably all think of somebody, a woman, man or a woman, that would come to our mind as just someone that has a lot of wisdom. Someone that you could call upon whenever you're faced with a situation and use them as a soundboard, and you could bounce some things off of them just to see what comes back, knowing that you would get good, sound wisdom, good, sound common sense, right? And so, you know that you'd get sound and prudent judgment based on the simple perception of the situation or the facts that you're giving them, right? It's common sense. And so common sense, I'd say, would be at least the most basic form of wisdom. Maybe not the deep divine wisdom, but it's at least the common, most basic wisdom. And I'm preaching this because we're living in a day where we're lacking that. We're lacking the most basic kind of wisdom, the most basic form of wisdom, the most basic godliness, the most basic common graces that we've talked about. They talk about, you know, old timers, old preachers, and men that have, and men and women have served God in days gone by. And some of you have seen a time in our society where the old preachers called it the common graces were at work. And common graces are not at work anymore. Where it was just common. People just kind of had a basic understanding of what was right and wrong. They had a basic conscience of what was right and wrong. Sure, you had those extremists who were really far out there, but I mean, at one time it was just basic understanding. I mean, me and Brother Ernest were talking just yesterday, and I don't want to get too off course. I really want to rely on my notes, because if I don't, we'll be here all night. There's a lot here, but I mean, just look around today. And compare today the people that you just see walking up and down the street to what we saw 10 years ago. You ain't got to go back 20 or 30 years now. Go back 10 years or even 5 years ago. And compare just what we see in our society today walking up and down the street compared to what we saw just a handful of years ago. And see that the common graces, the common sense things are not at work in people's lives now. Man, you go out and you see blue hair and green hair. You see girls with mohawks. You see women with half their head shaved and tattoos on their head. Everybody's covered in tattoos. Everybody's pierced from head to toe. That used to be the exception. Used to, that was only sailors that were that way, you know. You know, sailors who had traveled the world and gone to all these pagan countries and pagan lands and picked up on their habits. Well, it's right here in America now, and it's the common thing now. It's the common thing. People have no conscience about it anymore. And if you say anything about it, they get mad at you. They get mad at you. Like you're the problem, ain't that right? And so I'm just saying that just common sense things. My word, how far have we come in common sense to not realize that a man is not a woman and cannot and never will be a woman? How far have we come that a woman is not a man? How far have we come in common sense that we don't know that a child is male or female when they're born? I mean, there are nuts out there that are so far that they're going to wait 2 and 3 and 4 years to see what their child's going to decide to be. I mean, this is basic anatomy, people. You know, this is basic biology. It doesn't get any more basic and common sense than these things. Now, those are all the extreme cases. That's all the extreme stuff that we see in society. And by the way, I don't even think that stuff is the majority of America. I really don't. I believe that is a handful of professors in colleges and a handful of ultra-liberals that are pushing that stuff. And since all those people are involved in media, they make it seem like, you know, they push it on the media to make it seem like it's bigger than what it is. But you talk to the average person does not believe that stuff. I don't think so. I don't think that's the majority of America. But there's certainly a group out there that is just that far gone. But regardless, that is the extreme cases in society. Now, we need common sense in the church, though, as well. You and I, every one of us, need common sense. And I'm not just talking about having sense enough to get out of the rain. Now, you need that for sure. Amen. But you've heard that saying, you know, talk about somebody, man, I ain't got sense enough to get out of the rain, you know. And so we all certainly need that type of sense. But whenever we look at common sense, you know, common sense really is rooted in that Bible you're holding. Did you know that? Just the common ways of life. You know, the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, was written by a man named Solomon, wisest man ever lived. The Bible says that about him. And a proverb is a rule. That's what a proverb is, a rule or a law. And so the book of Proverbs is the book of God's rules for life. The book of God's laws for life. And do you know that the book of Proverbs applies to the saved man and to the lost man? A lost person could sit in this church tonight and get just as much out of the book of Proverbs as what you and I can. Because it's the laws for living. A lost man, a lost businessman, could run his business in accordance to the laws in the book of Proverbs and have a successful business. A lost person could live their life in accordance to the teachings in the book of Proverbs and have a good, successful life. Because it's God's laws, it's God's rules, it's God's wisdom, it's God's common sense. It's the things that just ought to be common. Now, there was a time in our country when there was a basic knowledge, a common knowledge of Scripture, where common sense did abound. But it does not abound anymore. And so that's why we're seeing things done outside and inside the church that does not make any sense. I mean, it leaves you scratching your head. You think, man, that does not even make sense. I'll give you one of them. This modern contemporary movement that we're seeing. That the whole thing is focused on reaching an age group that, I mean, let's be honest, really doesn't produce anything for the church. We've created these Chuck E. Cheese churches trying to reach, and the whole focus is to appeal to 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 year olds. And I mean, I'm looking at that, and I mean, I want to reach some people, and I want to reach young people, I want to reach youth, don't get me wrong. I want to, and we're trying our best to with the gospel, amen? But that's not all we're trying to reach. And I'm not going to cater my ministry to reach that age group, and I'll tell you one reason why. It doesn't make sense to. First of all, God wants to save everybody. Second of all, a 12, 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old doesn't really add a whole lot to our church. Not financially. Not instability. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, do you know what I'm saying? I mean, thank God for, I mean, I don't want to lose you here, but I mean, really, I mean, let's think about it. I mean, if you just build a whole work on youth, what are you going to do when the youth grow up? What are you going to do? If you cater the whole ministry to appeal to the flesh of youth, what are you going to do when they grow up? Isn't that right? Do y'all understand what I'm saying, or does that make sense to you? But see, since we've gotten so far from the Bible, and the men that call themselves preachers now are so far from the Bible, all these things don't even make sense. Not even from a natural perspective. You can't sustain a work. You can't sustain a ministry. You can't sustain all this stuff with you know, a group of just, you know, kids. But that's what the whole ministry is focused on. Isn't that right? You understand what I'm saying? That's just one illustration, just one example. And so I'm just simply saying what we need is common sense. Now, Solomon in the Proverbs had a lot to say about common sense. Now, when we talk about common sense, whenever you see the word in Proverbs, whenever you see the word discernment, whenever you see the word understanding, when you see the word wisdom, when you see the word knowledge, all of those things are referring to common sense. Because that is what Proverbs is. It is a book of common sense. And so it makes Proverbs extremely valuable because so many lack common sense. And so we've actually got to a point now where if a person, especially a young person, has common sense and demonstrates common sense in their life, that person will actually stick out in society. They will be evident because their clear thinking and their good attitude, it will be evident in the group that they are in, because common sense just doesn't abound. And so in the verse we read, he said, "A man of understanding is of an excellent spirit." That word excellent means valuable. Precious means highly valued or rare. Means something that is splendid or influential is another definition of it. An excellent spirit. Now, wouldn't you say that an excellent spirit, the way it's defined, wouldn't you say that that is an attitude that ought to characterize every Christian of all people? Every one of God's people. Shouldn't that characterize our life of all people? An attitude that is valuable and precious and highly valued and rare and splendid and influential? Shouldn't that characterize all of us? Now, Solomon here in the Proverbs, and I could show you several verses, but he sums up in a nutshell the key reason why people don't have common sense. And he sums it up in one word: foolishness. Foolishness. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. And Proverbs has a lot to say about the fool. We just read one verse that mentioned the fool and the foolish. And so that is the nutshell reason why someone would not have common sense, and that is foolishness. Now again, fools despise and even die from lacking common sense. They do. That's why we're studying this. That's why we're preaching this. Because if you lack common sense, you'll despise and you can even die from it. You say, Brother Jack, I don't believe that. Well, turn back a few pages to chapter 10 and look in verse number 21 of chapter 10. Proverbs 10, verse 21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The word want means lack. They die for lack of wisdom. So fools can die from lacking wisdom. In Proverbs 23, verse number 9, if you want to flip over there, Proverbs 23 and verse number 9, he said, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. You know why people get mad whenever they sit in a church that they've been in for a little while and they hear a preacher preach the Bible? They preach the Bible, but since it crosses somewhere in their life where they're wrong, not the Bible, but instead of getting right with the Bible and getting right with God, instead they leave and go find another preacher that won't preach that stuff. You want to know why? They're a fool. That is what a fool would do. Only a fool would hear the truth. Only the fool would hear the Word of God, the unchanging Word of God, and say, I don't like that. I don't like what that preacher said. When he's just preaching the Bible and making an application, only a fool would say, I don't like what he said, and get mad and go somewhere else because they didn't like the Bible. That's just what Solomon said, ain't it? See, a fool despises the wisdom of thy words. That's why he said, speak not in the ears of a fool. Now, Proverbs gets into the meat of the benefits of common sense. Common sense, the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge of the common things, of God's wisdom, God's laws. He gets into the meat of how to gain and how to lose. Common sense. And now again, whenever I talk about common sense, we're talking about wisdom and understanding and knowledge. The basic wisdom, basic understanding, basic knowledge of the Word of God. Because see, listen, even the basic will take you a long way. Tonight I want to look at the first part of this. And again, there's so much. I'm even going to have to hurry through what I've got here tonight. But tonight, I want to look at the causes or the sources of common sense. Bible common sense. All right. Now, why some, or I want to ask the question, why, when you look at, why would it be that some would seem to have common sense and others seem to have just none at all? Why is that? Why? What's the difference in people? Well, I think there's three things that we can see in Proverbs and three things that are listed that I'm going to give you tonight in Proverbs as to what the difference is. Because we're looking at the sources or the causes of common sense. And you're going to see the difference. You're going to see why some have common sense and why they're blessed because of it, and why some don't have common sense and why they're not blessed because of that, why they're cursed because of it. All right, so three things, three sources, three causes of common sense. First of all, the first cause of common sense, basic Bible wisdom and understanding and knowledge of God's rules and God's laws for life. By the way, these things govern every area of life. Every area of life. I'm not talking about what's going on between the four laws of the church. I'm talking about every area of your life is governed by what you read in these Proverbs. And the three sources of them are right here. The first one is the Lord. It is the Lord. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 2. Chapter 2 and look in verse number 6. Chapter 2 verse 6 says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. The Lord giveth wisdom. That's what we're talking about. Talking about common sense, basic Bible wisdom, and God, the wisdom and knowledge and understanding of just the basic laws that govern life and govern humanity and govern creation. You're not going to get past or around these things. basic laws that govern biology and anatomy and all those things. It comes from the Lord. Now, we're in a day now where we're in a society and there are people that are highly, highly educated, but they are educated beyond their intelligence. You hear me? They're highly educated. They've got a lot of degrees and a lot of learning, and they've read a lot of books, but they're educated beyond their intelligence. They're educated beyond their understanding. They're educated beyond their wisdom. And Brother Ernest just said it, a lot of them are educated beyond helping, beyond help. Old preacher used to say they're crippled too high for crutches. Right? Because they may have a lot of education. This is the information age where information is at our fingertips. We've got too much information now. We're overrun with information. There's too much information. We really know too much about one another, too much about everybody in the community, too much about the things of the world. We really know too much. That's the age that we're in, the information age. But with all the information, there's less common sense than there's ever been. Less common sense. The common laws that govern life and society. And I'll tell you why. Because they come from the Lord. Nearly every doctor, every scientist, every politician that would try to govern your life and pass laws about you and tell you what you need to do and not do with your health, tell you how to raise your family, how to rear your children. All that, you know, nearly everyone, every psychiatrist and psychologist, nearly everyone does not even believe there is a God. They believe this thing came from a big bang. They believe it all evolved. They do not even believe that there is a God. And the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And so we can't help but get away from common sense, because common sense, basic wisdom and understanding and knowledge of the way the world works, it comes from the Lord. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Now the Bible says understanding and common sense, it comes from the mouth of the Lord. That's what that verse says. The mouth of the Lord. What comes from the mouth of the Lord? His Word. The mouth of the Lord is His Word. Isn't that right? When you got this is the basic laws for humanity. And if we get away from this and get away from the Lord, common sense will not abound. It will not abound. I mean, you know, this idea of taking up all the guns to protect society and sterilize society and end all crime. We're going to accumulate all the guns and take up all the guns to end all crime. That is not common sense. That does not even make sense. But you can't tell some people that, and you can't get them to see that, because they're so far from the Lord. The Lord gives common sense. Me and Brother Carl, and I know this is just kind of a side note, and I'm running a little bit of a rabbit here, I understand it. Me and Brother Carl are just talking before church. Every mass shooting in America in recent memory that I can think of has happened in a gun-free zone. Is that right? It's beyond, and that's just what I'm saying, that the simple laws of society, they're governed by the Word of God. They're governed, and wisdom is given by the Lord. So the wisdom of the universe, all creation, all those things are traced to the Lord. Therefore, it must come from Him. See, God embodies common sense. God embodies wisdom. He embodies truth. I mean, that's who He is. He's the embodiment of it. And so many people are afraid of the unknown. Isn't that right? A lot of people are afraid of the unknown. I read where on old maps, before the whole world was mapped out, while they were still doing these discoveries, that whenever they'd come to a place on that, they'd put everything they knew to put, everything that had been discovered so far, when they were charting out, these cartographers were charting out these territories that had been discovered and all these new explorations were being made. And they would, those cartographers would, you know, map out these sections. And when they got to a point where they hadn't been further than that yet, they would write, in that section, they would write, "Beyond here, there be dragons." That's what they imagined were out there. Because it hadn't been discovered. I'm talking about many, many years ago before the whole world had been mapped out, you know. And that's what they'd write. Because in their mind, they'd imagine what was out there because it was unknown, right? I don't know about you, but swimming in a dark ocean creeps me out, buddy. Because I can't see what's under me, and I can't see what's down in that deep, dark abyss. And my imagination can just imagine a lot of things down in the unknown. Amen? The unknown's scary. And when they'd map out those things, man, they just imagine dragons and beasts and, I mean, all kinds of bizarre stuff. You wonder why? Because people are scared to death of the unknown. And did you know that lacking knowledge, lacking common sense, what it does is it leads to fear and it leads to foolish beliefs. Thinking that dragons existed beyond the place that they had mapped out, that's really foolish, isn't it? We know that now. But they didn't know that. Now we say, well, that's foolish, man. Dragons out there, you know. I mean, you know. But because they didn't know what was there, that's what they imagined. See, that's why it's so important to seek the Lord for wisdom. That's why it's so important to seek the Lord for understanding. Because if not, if you don't have a simple, basic, if you don't have some Bible common sense, all of what's going on in these last days in our society, you're going to be gripped with fear. And you're going to be led into some foolish beliefs. Amen. All this environmentalism, that is not common sense. That don't make sense. They want to run the world by environmentalism. Matter of fact, I just saw a story on Fox News just this past week about a lady has got prison time now. She's going to be spending time in prison, brother. Because she killed a dog that she had that she didn't want anymore. The dog got sick, and she's not at the place where she could take it to the vet and pay for all the medical bills. I mean, they charge as much to work on an animal as they do a human now. And she couldn't afford it, so she just killed the dog. My word, man, people have been doing that for years. They've been shooting horses with broke legs for years. And this lady's going to get prison time for it. Ain't that crazy? That doesn't make sense, man. That doesn't make common sense. But see, the world is so far from the Lord that they care more about lizards and puppies and kittens and otters and spotted owls than they do human babies now. And we're aborting babies by the millions, but you'll go to prison if you kick somebody's dog. Amen. And now you got young couples who will get married, and because they love themselves so much and love their lifestyle and their way of life so much, they'll get married, live their whole life, and never have children because they love their dog so much. Because they love their fur baby. Ain't that right? Let me just help you. You may have a dog, and we got one too. We just got one. I know that surprises everybody. We got one for Gideon. Let me just help you. Your dog, your cat, is not a person. Amen. It is not a human. Amen. 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 And when that dog or that cat dies, it does not go to heaven and it does not go to hell. It goes nowhere. Right. Amen. Amen. And you may think that dog loves you and you may think that dog cares so much about you, but I want you to know that dog loves you as much as you'll feed it. And as much as you'll rub its belly. Those are conditioned responses. That's exactly right. Those are conditioned responses. Amen. I got no problem with anybody having a dog and even loving their dog. Dog's a man's best friend. Ain't no doubt about that. But I don't love a dog more than I love my kids. Amen. Children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. But we've gotten so far from the Lord in our society that people don't even want to have kids anymore because they're too much of a burden to them. Well, that's not what God said about them. God said they were a blessing. God said they were a heritage. God said the more you have, the more blessed you are. God took responsibility for life all through the Bible. Every life given in the Bible, God always takes responsibility for it. God gives life. Amen. But that's just common sense, right? But see, it doesn't abound now. Because common sense comes from the Lord, and our society has gotten away from the Lord. James 1:15, he said, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him." You say, "Brother Jack, I don't agree with some of that stuff you just said." What you need to do is you need to pray, and you need to ask God for wisdom. You ask God to sort you out. Lord, help me to understand. Help me to have wisdom. Help me to have common sense. Lord, I've gotten sucked into some of this liberal philosophy of our world. Lord, I've gotten sucked into some of this stuff. You know, I've gotten sucked into some of this environmentalism. And I'm scared to death that if we don't do something to curb the carbon dioxide within the ozone or whatever, that all of humanity is going to die because we're all going to burn up. It's like, Lord, I've gotten sucked into some of that, and I need you to help me. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me a verse. And then the Lord will send you over to Genesis where he said, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, well, you know, we'll continue. All seasons will continue. Amen. See, Al Gore don't know that, but it's in the Bible. Amen. He also doesn't know that there is a global warming coming because everything's going to, all the elements are going to melt with a fervent heat, but it's not going to be from carbon dioxide. Amen. It's going to be from the wrath and the judgment of God. Amen. But see, you got to have common sense to know that. You have common sense under that. Listen, I'm not scared one bit of climate change. Climate change. I ain't had to take one baby aspirin to go to bed at night because of climate change. Amen. You know why? Because I know what the Bible says. I know what God said, not what some scientist said who has an agenda, by the way, that doesn't even believe there is a God. All right, let me hurry. The causes and sources of common sense. The first source, the first cause is the Lord. The second one is listening to reproof. Listening to reproof. Turn over to chapter 15, Proverbs 15. And I know I've got to hurry. Look in verse number 32. Chapter 15, verse 32. Look at what it says. Now this is very practical for all of us. It says, "He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth," what? "Understanding." That's what we're talking about. Talking about common sense, understanding, wisdom, and knowledge of the way the world operates. So he that refuseth instruction, he despiseth his own soul. He's hurting himself, according to the Bible. But he that heareth reproof, he getteth understanding. See, common sense is gained by listening to reproof, to correction, to discipline. It is a readiness to receive those things. A readiness to embrace that. Amen? Now, it can sting whenever you get corrected. It always does. But you know, you're really only hurting yourself. If somebody comes to you, if your pastor was to come to you and say, "Listen, I've seen this in your life and I'm concerned about it and I just want to help you here. Let me just help you." Listen, that's going to sting. Whatever that thing I bring out or whatever, that's going to sting. And I've had it happen to me. More than once, by a pastor and by other preachers. But I thank God for it, amen? Because it stings like an antiseptic going into an open wound. But it's good to cleanse that open wound, amen? And so the worst thing you could do, though, is reject that reproof. By the way, let me help you with this. If somebody who loves you and cares about you and is trying to help you, bring something up in your life and says, "Listen, I'm concerned about this," and you immediately get defensive about that thing, it's a good sign you're in the wrong. If you immediately feel like you've got to start immediately defending your position, "Well, this is why I do it," and come up with all the excuses and the reasons why you're doing what you're doing, and you're just defense, you immediately get on the defense, it's a good sign you're the one that's wrong. Amen. I'll give you an example here, and I keep running rabbits. We're going to be here forever. Not really. I promise I'm hurting. But back whenever me and Hannah were courting, I don't know if many of you know this, she's a good bit younger than me. I know she don't look it. Because I look so young, not because she looks old, because I look young. And she's like 8 years younger than me. And she was, well, she was 17 when we got married. I was 25. She was 17. So she'd have been like 16 or whatever when we just kind of started talking and becoming friends. I was spending time with her family. And we were doing everything right. We prayed about it. We saw the Lord. We fasted and prayed. And her parents were, I mean, they were involved. I mean, it was all above board. It was all the perfect will of God. I know that with all my heart. But see, because of that age difference, there were some people who sincerely loved me and sincerely out of concern for me and sincerely out of concern for my ministry and all those things. They did come to me and say, hey, listen, brother, listen, you ought to really think about this. I don't know about this. I mean, she's young, man. I mean, you ought to really think about how that looks, you know. And you ought to think about, I mean, you know, all these things. Listen, genuine concerns, man. But, you know, that's the way I looked at it then, too. See, I knew in my heart I was doing everything right. And listen, I'm not saying this out of pride. And I'm not making myself a hero here. I'm just saying I knew I was in the will of God. Hannah knew her parents knew we were in the will of God. We were doing everything right. We weren't sneaking around. We never went anywhere by ourselves. Amen. Amen. We weren't riding around in cars at night by ourselves. Running off to dark movie theaters by ourselves. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. We all know what goes on in cars on dirt roads at night and in movie theaters. Come on now. We got young people in our church. They need to hear this. Amen. They're going to be dating, or hopefully not dating, hopefully doing it by God's way here for long. They need to hear this, amen. But we were doing it right, trying to serve God. I didn't get mad when people came to me about that stuff. I knew they loved me. I knew they were looking out for me. And I just had to tell them, listen, I really will. I'll pray about that. I'll pray about it. I knew in my heart I was already right. But I told them I loved them, and I'd pray, and I'd consider, and I'd pray about it. But I didn't get mad. I didn't write them off. I didn't find a new church to go to. Amen? I didn't join the Recovering Fundamentalists. I didn't think that some, you know, a leather-lunged preacher ruined my life and warped me. I mean, none of that stuff. Because I knew I had confidence in the peace that God gave me. And for when somebody doesn't have peace and doesn't have confidence in what they're doing with the peace that God's given, they'll get defensive and they'll get entrenched in what they're, and it'll the battle will be on. It'll be you against them. Amen. I'm just telling you, you get defensive, it's a good sign. You in the wrong. But see, that's a very foolish thing to do. A fool will reject correction and instruction. See, the purpose of reproof is to correct nonsense and foolish choices. That's what reproof is for. The word reproof actually means blame. To bring up blame. To put the blame and an indictment on you. That's never going to feel good, I'm just going to tell you. But it is good for you. One that heeds correction will learn from their mistakes and gain that horse sense in the future. But, you know, most don't get to the point of hearing reproof. Most will plug their ears. They'll scream over the one that's trying to help them. They'll run the other way. They'll keep on going. They'll harden their neck and keep on going the way they're going no matter what. They'll make you the enemy and them the hero. They won't listen to correction. An unwillingness to listen to instruction or correction really robs you. It robs you. Listen to what Jeremiah said. Matter of fact, Jeremiah and Zechariah, those prophets, both had something to say about this in regards to the nation of Israel. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 10, Jeremiah said, "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear?" He said, "Who am I going to speak to? Who am I going to give warning to that they'll hear?" He said, "Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it." Zechariah said something similar in chapter 7, verse 11. He said, "But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear." And we all know how the nation of Israel turned out in those situations, don't we? Now, one of the most important jobs you think about in the business world, one of the most important jobs in the business world is to listen for bad news. Any leader in a business, they have to listen for bad news. See, if you don't act on bad news, a lot of people only want to hear good news, but if you won't hear for the bad news and listen for bad news, and if you don't act on the bad news, what will happen is in business, your people will eventually stop bringing the bad news to your attention. And you know what that is for a business? That's the beginning of the end for a business. When employees and a man's people will not bring him the bad news anymore, the bad things that are happening in the company, that's the beginning of the end of that thing. Because the bad news, they're not being addressed. Now, just the same is true in us spiritually. If we're not willing to hear the hard truths, you know, for business, that's certainly the case, but it's the case for all of us. We have to be willing and sensitive and tender enough to hear the hard truths that will help us. Now, sometimes truth sounds like bad news, but it's just what we need if it's truth. Now, listening and loving the truth leads to understanding on what to do in any given circumstance, any given situation. That leads me to my last one. What's the source of common sense? First of all, the Lord, listening to correction, but then also loving the truth. You're in Proverbs chapter 2, I think, still. Maybe not. If not, turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Look in verse number 3. Proverbs 3, verse 3. He says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." See, love for mercy and truth, it'll cause you to gain favor with God and man, the Bible says, but it'll also cause you to gain common sense, understanding. Now, why is that? Well, the reason is because common sense is based on truth rather than lies. All common sense in the world comes from and is rooted in this Bible. People may realize it or may not realize it, but it's rooted in this Bible. There's even common sayings and common things that people believe out there in the world that don't even believe God, don't even know God, but there's common right things that they believe and common right sayings that they will say that they don't even know where it came from, but it came from the Bible. I'll give you one of them, the golden rule. People that don't even love God teach their children that. Or they used to anyways. I don't know if they do now. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. That's the golden rule. There's a lot of people that don't even know God that will teach their children that without even realizing that that's a direct quote from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus preached that. And that's a good common sense rule that would govern all of society. If we'd all treat everybody else the way we want to be treated, we'd have a good society, wouldn't we? That's common sense. But it's rooted in the truth. And you've got to love truth to have common sense. See, truth is accurate. It is wise. It's dependable. It's reliable. It's justifiable. It's verifiable. Truth is. You notice the studies and the facts and the statistics on everything wrong in the world today, whether it's coronavirus or anything else, they change almost daily. Almost weekly they change. Last year it was wearing a mask, then it was wearing two masks, then three masks. Then it was get a vaccine and you don't have to wear a mask anymore. Now get a vaccine, you still got to wear a mask. It changes almost daily. You know what doesn't change though? What changes, it doesn't change, is this book. Getting back to the whole environmental thing, back in the 80s, you know, global cooling was the thing back then. The 70s and 80s, they were scared to death. It's going to get so cold, it's all going to freeze to death. Have another ice age is what the scientists were worried about back then. Now it's global warming. Well, I've read the Bible. I've got common sense. I don't need all these studies and all this stuff. I know what God said. I know that seed time and harvest is all going to remain until Jesus comes. Amen. These are just examples, but the fact is that truth is unchanging. It is accurate. It's dependable. It's always verifiable. The Bible says to bind them about the neck. That gives the idea of a necklace, right? A necklace. Now, just like a necklace, just like someone would, a lady would cherish a beautiful necklace given to her by someone she loves. You know, we ought to cherish and adorn ourselves with mercy and with truth. Just as the first thing someone would notice about a lady with a beautiful necklace on that she cherishes and has adorned, just as that would be one of the first things someone would notice about her as she walks up. They'd see that beautiful necklace, that beautiful string of pearls, that beautiful gold and that, you know, all those precious. Just like that would be one of the first things they'd notice. You know, that would be one of the first things that people notice about us. One of the first things they recognize about us is the mercy and the love for truth that we have. Now, love for mercy and truth. It will help us all to have common sense. You say, what are the sources of common sense? Well, it's the Lord. It's listening to reproof. Amen. And it's loving the truth. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace tonight, and I thank you for helping us with the message. I pray that you'll take it and use it. I pray that you'd help us to all. Lord, seek you, Lord, for wisdom and understanding and direction in these last days. We are going to need it, Lord. And I know we're going to find it in your word. We're going to find it under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, I pray if there be somebody here tonight, Lord, that is faced with a decision, faced with a circumstance that they really need wisdom in. They really need discernment. They really need common sense from God. I pray, Lord, that you'd give it to them. I pray that you'd help them, Lord, to seek, Lord, common sense from you and your word that they might find it. Lord, I pray that you would help us all do a work in our hearts, help us to respond to you in the way you'd help us to respond. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.